Hallelujah.
I'm good. We can all go home now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands to heaven. Whew. Man, I need that fan back on. Whew. Sure got hot in here, didn't it? Whew. Hallelujah. You know, this is home in His presence. It's home. Nothing can replace home. You can't snap your feet and try and go home. You know what I'm saying? There's only one way to go home, and you got to worship into His presence. You battle into His presence. Glory. In His presence, the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in His right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. That means everything is in His presence. So many times we battle, we fight, we run, we knock, we do everything that we can to find what we're supposed to find when we don't even know what we're looking for. But we're looking for something. And that something is His presence where everything is. Without His presence, we have nothing. In His presence, right, you know, saturation in His presence. It's like being baptized all over again. And the more we really seek to get into His presence, the more we peel away. Then it's quicker to get into His presence. When we are out in the world and we're touching everything and whatever's around us and the ways of the world that are pressing us and getting into His presence, everything of the world disappears because nothing of the world can exist in the presence of God. That's what separates us from the world. See, religion is a part of the world. So you can have all the religion you want. You can go around quoting scriptures like crazy and still not be backed by the presence of God. In fact, there are many people who quote scriptures out of bitterness. They quote it out of compassion, but sometimes there's the compassion of the world. Anybody can have compassion in the world, but there's something different. And they quote it out of love, but it may not be the love of God. It may be the love of passion or compassion. But when things are done in the love of God, there's healing. There's freedom. And I've shared this testimony before that I was floating in a pool one day talking to the Lord, and I heard a stunk. And I was looking for direction of where the stunk came from. And a squirrel came down the tree. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, follow the squirrel. So I looked where the squirrel was at, and there was this blue dead bird. And I was looking at it. And all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord and the love of God came over me so strong. And I said, I'm not out there picking up dead birds. You know, it's not my custom. And so I went down there and I picked this dead bird up. I didn't think anything of it. And I picked it up because I said, Lord, why have you given me so much love for this bird? And when I said that and picked it up, he flew away from my hands. And I know the Lord brought that dead bird back to life because of His love. And that's what He does with me and you. He's always bringing us back because of His love. And He knows the things that we go through. He knows all the goofiness. He knows our mistakes. He knows our hindrances. He knows our struggles. But He's always saying something. Come back. Come back into my presence. Come back where everything is. And there's no lack. Come back. In the book of Joel, turn to the book of Joel, please. Chapter 2, which we've heard a gazillion times, but you're going to hear a gazillion one. In verse 28, in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In other words, His spirit will be available for anyone who desires it. See, when we come together in corporate worship, we come together and we actually aid one another in getting hungry. And if the person next to you isn't, you just kick them. Get hungry. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Listen, what he's saying here is there's something that's going to cause you to be more aware, or what we call deeper awareness. See, the lack of God's presence is a lack of awareness. Remember, God isn't looking for servants. He's looking for his sons and daughters first. You cannot serve God without being his son and daughter. And when you put service before son and daughter, you have walked away from his covering. Does everybody understand that? Because it is in his presence. That's why he created us, so that we would come back into his presence. Why? We came from his presence. Amen? He created us out of love, out of his presence. You and I were created out of his presence. So we are spirit. We have a soul and we have a body. So in this, what he's saying, look, I'm going to bring you back into my presence. And anyone who is willing to come and follow me and desire and be thirsty and hungry for my presence, I will give me deeper awareness. Everyone say deeper awareness. And 1 Corinthians 13. And how we need a more deeper awareness now, don't we? In 1 Corinthians 13. Is anybody drunk? I'm glad I'm not the only one. Hallelujah. In verse 11, would you read it with me, please? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Very powerful. What is he saying? Put away your childish thoughts. Put away your childish thoughts. These thoughts are fantasy, or I want to call them fantasy deceptions of fantasy. Fantasy deceptions, childish thoughts. They may be considered vain imaginations also. And it's time to put them away. And one of the things we want to do is put on the mind of Christ, or the thoughts of Christ. And that thoughts of Christ, the mind of Christ, is exchanged in God's presence. In other words, we read the word of God, amen, which is his word, things that he has spoken. As we read the word of God, there should always bring a desire by reading his word to get in his presence. Now, thoughts are associated with mind. Mind is not physical. It's spiritual. Your brain is physical. Your mind is not. Your mind is associated with your conscience. It's also associated in the soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations, all of those are spiritual. So everybody got it? Your brain is physical. It's associated with maintaining this body. The physical brain does not rule us. Amen? Then we would be under control of the enemy. As a believer, that's the exchange. Because the mind of the flesh is associated with the brain. Thoughts, your thoughts are associated with mind. Mind is spiritual. So thoughts, we're in the spirit realm. Thoughts are associated with voices, which we talked about, aren't they? Amen? But they do affect your brain in the area of what will grow. Because the Bible says, as a man is, as a man thinks, so he is. In other words, there's something spiritual about this that causes something physical. Because as you're thinking spiritually, you're changing matter. You're changing something physical. Is everybody okay? So what the enemy wants to do is speak to you into a place so that you begin to change physically. It alters you. Hello. That's why individuals that are not in God's presence don't have a deeper awareness. The more you're in his presence, the more awareness will come to you. There's a deeper awareness. Why? Because God is trying to draw us in to him. Amen? Okay, let's go a little further. 1 Corinthians 14. Next chapter, I guess. In verse 20. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Do not be what? Children. In other words, you still have childish understanding. You still have fantasies of understanding, deceptive understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be what? Mature. Be mature. Be mature. That maturity only can establish in the area of God's presence. Listen, there's a lot of intellectuals. Does everybody understand that? There's a lot of intellectuals. That's where people have a lot of knowledge, but they really don't have understanding. But for me and you, it should be different. We should have understanding of knowledge, which is truth, and it's truth that makes us free. These things come from the presence of God. There are seven attributes according to God in his presence. I guess we better go there for a second. Isaiah chapter 12. Wait a minute. Isaiah 11, sorry. Seven attributes. Isaiah 11, verse 2. The first attribute, of course, is the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon us. Amen? It says the what? Spirit of wisdom and what? Understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, let's go back to something. The Spirit of the Lord, is that in God's presence? Yes. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into God's presence all the time. In fact, the Holy Spirit is known as the carrier or the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, called the anointing. Is everybody with me? Again, God, I believe that the Lord is trying to bring us into a deeper awareness. We were singing that song, make me more aware of your presence. Well, let me tell you something. We need to be more aware of everything. Getting understanding, which is a deeper awareness. The more understanding you have, the more aware you will be. And that comes from the presence of God. In Romans 13. Romans 13. In verse 10. Romans 13, verse 10. Would you read it with me? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. That means cast off these toxic thoughts. And let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Those are toxic thoughts. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for toxic thoughts or the flesh to fulfill its lusts. There are toxic thoughts and there are healthy thoughts. These thoughts, behind these thoughts, are a voice, aren't they? Amen. So in this, we want to not only be able to discern these things, but be able to cast them off, because by casting them off, it gives us a deeper awareness. Toxic thoughts cause even toxic foods. When you eat toxic foods, it makes you think differently, doesn't it? Man, I've been in a restaurant, and there was some MSG in it. Man, I was ill, headache and everything. I felt like I'd ate some pill or something, you know, it's goofy. Went home, I was like, whoa, somebody drugged me. It was monosodium glutamate. You got to be careful of these places. You know, somebody's, look at it, if the devil can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with food. They're toxic. And now, knowing that the time is now to cast off the thoughts of toxic thoughts and put on the mind of Christ, thoughts are that are that participate. These are thoughts that participate with the Creator. Why? Because your thoughts of the mind of Christ co-creates. As a man thinks, so he is. And by doing this, we come into a deeper awareness. Deeper awareness, we become more sensitive. More sensitive. That doesn't mean we become more wimpy. I said it becomes more sensitive. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Is everybody okay? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter toxic thoughts, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Look at, he's saying, hang with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Why? Because bad company corrupts good habits. Good habits are established by removing toxic thoughts. Because toxic thoughts promote bad habits. Has everybody got that? But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all and able to teach. Able to teach. Let me tell you something. Every one of us, if we are a servant of the Lord, you better be a teacher. And you should be able to teach. If you truly are a servant of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because what you're taking is everything he's given you from his throne room to express into this realm. So you should be able to teach. Everything you are taught here, you're not taught by a man. You're taught by the anointing. Those things come from the throne room of God. So by that, we are bringing the eternal things of God into a natural realm. So what you're doing is actually giving somebody an opportunity to walk out of the natural realm into the spirit, aren't you? And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their what? Senses or what? Deeper awareness. And escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, so many times it looks good, smells good, tastes good, but it ain't good. Just ain't good, you know. And what happens is people in this, the enemy tries to bring us into a place of deception in our senses. Because, see, when he puts you, if he can get you in a place of deception, your awareness is clogged. It gets dull. So your senses are not operating correctly. They're toxic. So he says, cleanse yourself from those toxic thoughts in the mind. And then what will happen is things begin to get rerouted, even in our brain. Woohoo! And the purpose of this is, listen, our senses are, look at, when these things begin to happen, you can alter your senses in the physical and in the spiritual. So your spirit, you, the new creation in Christ Jesus, will use your eyes to see in the natural realm the things that you didn't see before. Will use your ears to be more tentative to the things in the natural realm that you didn't know before or hear before. You will pick up things. And then you'll be able to be more sensitive because your senses, because you're more aware of the things in the spirit realm. Amen? Is everybody okay? All right. Where's God? Hebrew. I brewed tonight. Hebrew 5. Hallelujah. Hebrew 5. Deeper awareness established by saturation. And you know what? Too many people are missing it. In verse 11, Hebrew 5. Did I say Hebrew 5? Cool. Let's start somewhere. Ooh, nice. Let's start at 12. For though by now, this time, you ought to be what? Teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in word and righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to who? Those who are full of age, that is those who by reason of use have their what? Senses what? Exercise to discern both good and evil. In other words, they have a what? Deeper awareness. See, you can come here and you can hear all of these nuggets from the throne room of God, but without a deeper awareness, you don't use it. It doesn't grasp. It's like putting, you know, in a puzzle. Somebody could walk around. We could walk around this whole room and have pieces of puzzles in them. And everyone has a part of that puzzle. And you'll try and put somebody else's part in, and it just doesn't work. Because you won't really know which one's yours. So the deeper awareness will take the things that God is releasing from his throne room and bring it to a place that you know that it fits right here because it's completing you in him. And every time another one comes, it fits and it completes you in him again. And another one comes and it fits and it completes you again in him. And you look forward to what he's getting to release to you because you know it's constantly completing you in him. Does everybody get this? Glory. And I mean glory. Woo! Ezekiel 40. Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 2. So we're going to pass the bucket around shortly. It's the puzzle bucket. It's actually being passed around right now. Don't you take my peas. In verse 2, let's read it together. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it toward the south was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. Man, there is so much here that I can't get into. Anyways, verse 4. And the man said to me, Son of man, look what your eyes and hear what your ears and what? Fix your mind on everything I what? Or fix your what? Thoughts. In other words, he's not talking your brain. He's talking about your thoughts, your spiritual thoughts, your conscience. Set, fix it. Look at this. Set it on it. For you were brought here so that I might show you them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to see everything. Physically and spiritually. That is called a deeper awareness. This is where God wants to bring his body now into a deeper awareness so that we see what he wants. He wants us to get into a place where we are fixed. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what's happening. You know, do you ever hear someone say, man, there's all eyes all around that person? Or there must be eyes in the back of your head. Yeah. There's no limits in the spirit realm. The Holy Spirit sees through every wall. He sees through everything. He sees underwater. There's nothing hidden from him. So it says here, so we're to fix our thoughts. You know, thoughts. How many of y'all know we have a free will? So we have a free will to choose, don't we? How many of you know that your thoughts influence your choices? The Bible says that we're predestined, but we're not. We're predestined. In other words, the opportunity is there for us to follow so that we become his image and likeness and fulfillment that he has for us. But that's the participation. So what he does is he gives us his presence. He gives us his spirit. So a deeper awareness can be established so that the following is clear. And you know that he loves you, even when you blow it. See, that's what keeps us coming back into his presence. Because he loves me. Everyone say, he loves me. Again, he loves me. That's why he created me. That's why he loves me in his presence. Because that's where his love's at. And then what happens is we exchange all of our emotions and all of our hurts and pains in his presence. And we exchange them for peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, right? Because we're exchanging our presence and the presence that we've picked up and all their friends for the presence of God. Hallelujah. And what he shows us, we are to declare. In other words, he's saying, I want to bring you into a deeper awareness. Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 1. We're going to all need to read this, please. Verse 1 through 3. What does it say? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to what? Perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. What he's saying, listen, we need to go on to more. In other words, if God permits, okay, so there's a time to lay hands. There's a time to cast out devils. There's a time for baptism. But there's something he's saying that will bring you more into a perfection. And that's his presence. That's his what? His presence. His presence. Because his presence will always bring us to his glory. You know, this last year, I'm speaking for myself. And I love the gifts of the Spirit. I utilize the gifts of the Spirit daily. I utilize them for myself and sometimes for... And the Lord will show me something as I'm praying in the Spirit. God will show me something. Word of knowledge will come, whatever. Wisdom comes. All of these things happen. So the gifts of the Spirit should be used every single day, not only for personally, but for ministry. They're tools of the Spirit. They're tools of operation. I've seen people get healed. I've seen miracles, all kinds of things. And there's times when the Lord tells me to go lay hands, and there's times when he says, no. See, I just really believe that we're going on to perfection. God doesn't want any one of us to rely on any man, any person. He wants us to rely on him. He's our source. Everything else is a resource. Amen? So if we're really, truly seeking God, you know, so many times people come. I was involved in a ministry. It was a prophetic ministry, and my wife and I were involved. And so people would come to hear the word. The word, I need a word. I want a word. I want a word. I want a word. I want a word. And we were in this ministry for about 6 months, a year. And, I mean, it was very interesting. Very interesting. But I began to realize that people were coming for a word and not for God's presence. You know, the Bible says something, if you're sick and whatever, I mean, if you're, go pray. In other words, go seek. Doesn't it say seek? Go seek. Why? Because he wants a personal relationship. He wants you, his daughters and his sons to come to him. So it's not just about laying on the hands. And I'm not saying laying on the hands is bad. Or I love it. When he tells me to lay hands on individuals, I do. In fact, there's many times I don't know what he's going to do. I've had words later. Man, I got healed that night. This happened, whatever. I don't know if power of God went through me. I don't know what's going on. I'm just obedient. And then there's some times when I know what's going on because he reveals. So there's a purpose. But these are the gifts of the Spirit, which every one of us should be operating in anyways. Amen? But there's this place where we go further than just chasing gifts. We don't have to chase the word or word of knowledge. We need to be chasing the presence of God. And that's what this place is about. We are chasing the presence of God. Amen? Because in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And everything is exchanged in his presence. And in that presence, there'll be more, a deeper awareness of the things that are going around you and in your life. You won't be running around going, oh, oh, what? Because when you don't know, you know he loves you so much that you're going to trust. See, you won't need to know everything. You know, it's not on a need-to-know basis relationship. It's on a trust basis, isn't it? Amen? So we want to be more aware. The purpose of being more aware now is because of the evil strategies that's happening. It's not to be more aware of what your neighbor's doing or what your brother or sister's doing. The more awareness is to know what the evil strategies are. It's important. Romans 1. Verse 28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And I can tell you right now that there are many who do not like to retain God in their knowledge. In fact, this country has been taken over by them. Most of the world has been taken over by them. It says, being filled and do those things that are which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters. They are haters of God. It's a terrible thing to be ruled in a country that are haters of God. But we are there. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, we are there. Disobedient to parents, if they had any, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, we are there. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. I want to call these individuals because most of them proclaim to be Christians, wolves in sheep's clothing. They have a form of godliness. They are promoters of deception, of entitlement. Does everybody got that? Entitlement. They try to promote that you're owed something. And the purpose of that deception is to bring people into captivity. You know that we have more people on welfare than we do employed? On food stamps than we do employed? Something to that degree? Do you know that people are now leaving the country? They've been leaving the country for the last 2 years? 6.4 million are working or studying overseas. In the last 24 months, 5%, it's increased to 5%. Do you know why? Because of the overtaking. I don't want to, you know, it's government, yes, but it's evil. You know, I went to my chiropractor today, sweet man, and, you know, we share all kinds of, he always asked me what I just talked about and so forth, and what the Lord gave me. And he said, you know, and he hasn't seen the reality DVD, but he's going to watch it. And he said to me, he says, you know, I had to go to a conference this weekend to maintain my license. And he said the things that they were talking about and the things that they were saying about everything that's going on, he said something was happening to him it felt like everybody in the room had headphones on and wasn't listening or paying attention because they were not aware of the bondage, the increase of forcing certain things and regulations and everything else. And there was a gentleman there that he had known for many years, and he walked up to him and he said, you know, what do you think about this? He goes, this is my last conference. He said, what do you mean? You giving up your license? He said, yes, I'm moving to Costa Rica. I'm out of here. You know, the government is forcing businesses to shut down. They are forcing doctors they are forcing people to leave the country. You know, I stepped back tonight as the Lord was giving me whatever, and I said, Lord, United States is spiritually Babylon, isn't it? It is spiritually, it is not the Babylon. It is spiritually Babylon. And it is happening. And I'm not afraid to speak about it, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every demon that rise up against me will be condemned, whether he's in the flesh or not. You know, most Americans, and this is crazy, because they are not saturated, they have no awareness, they don't even know what the Patriot Act is. Most of them don't. Most Americans don't know that there's underground cities. Most of them don't know that the Federal Reserve is a private corporation, not even a part of our federal agency. It has nothing to do with us. Most Americans don't know who Barry Sotoro is, a.k.a. President Obama. Most Americans don't know what a demon is. They think that aliens are real when they're actually demons. You know? Most Americans don't know what a GMO is. They don't even know about the FEMA camps that have been built to re-educate individuals when they take them in. Again, most Americans don't even know these things. Ezekiel 12. We've been handing out the reality DVDs, and we have had some individuals that have, it has caused individuals to seek further, and that's its purpose. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are, whoever, listen, go to the eternallibrary.org website. The video's there. There's associated teachings with it. Or you can always call our offices, and we gladly send you them. But no, it's time to get it out. It's time. Now's the time. Because when it happens real quick, you're going to go, man, I wish I would have. Now's the time. Ezekiel 12 and verse 2, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a what? Rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a what? Rebellious house. The United States is a rebellious house. Amen? And Jeremiah 7. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 7, in verse 28. Ooh, ooh. Let's start at 25. Jeremiah 25. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. That is this country. Amen. In Daniel chapter 7. Man, I want to be on the front row when this, when the Lord comes in with his team. I'm going to be rooting out. Yeah, we're going to watch it. We're going to watch the devil be thrown down, cast down, and used as a mop. And all of his cohorts, they're going to look like real idiots. Their time will definitely come. And anyone who follows them, their time will come. Do you know that? It's very possible that the lake of fire will be known as the Dead Sea in Israel. And as we go up to the Feast of Tabernacles and worship the Lord, we will walk in by them and they'll be still cooking. See, we got hot now. They're going to get hot later. Oh, hallelujah. Where am I going? Oh, thank you. Daniel chapter 7. Woohoo! Verse 23. We're going to hit a few of these quickly. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. He shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and seasons. Now, we know that that is happening right now. Not an escalation that is going to happen, but it's already started. Then the saints will be given into his hand for the time and times and a half time, which will be 3.5 years. I'll go to Daniel 8, verse 23. It says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. Seems like they all do right now, don't they? This is Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. Is everybody there? Verse 24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. Has that happened already? Again, I want you to understand that these things have already begun. They're not escalated to its max yet, because Satan's kingdom has already taken. We know that he's the ruler of the world. But they've already expressed themselves in the natural realm, and it's going to get worse. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. In other words, the Lord's going to come and kick his butt. Daniel 12, and I'm going to be on the front row seat. In verse 1, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So we know that this has to do with Israel had to become a nation. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now listen, awareness shall increase. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 6. Ephesians 5, 6 says, what? Let no one what? Deceive you with empty words. Man, we see that everywhere, every time you turn on the TV. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? How are you going to expose them if you're not aware? I'm going to share something with you. Many have fallen into the trap already because of their lack of awareness. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. And I want to close in Ephesians 4, in verse 11. Remember, we are not coming together for just a message from the pulpit. This is training. This is all about training. We are being trained up for what's getting ready to happen. This is training. So we cannot look at this as just some dude up there taking the Bible and speaking. These things are areas of training. We are all being trained up for what's getting ready to happen so that we are prepared. This is training. This is not a Bible study. Has everybody got it? This is training. And people are still looking religiously, oh, it's Bible study. I mean, we call it a Bible study, but it's actually training. It's training. Everyone say, I'm being trained.
Being trained.
To be a warrior.
Be a warrior.
Training for reigning. So I can kick some butt. Amen. Verse 11, let's read it together. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Isn't that how we started? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be what? Children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. In other words, isn't it where it says grow up, be more what? Aware. From whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to its effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In love. So let's come out of the religious mindset of just Bible study. Let's come into the arena of military. There's a war going on. Amen? Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. And we ask, Master, that your word from your throne room would penetrate all the way into our being and exchange, Lord, our childish and foolish thoughts of deception with the thoughts that have come forth this evening into each and every one of us. That it would be protected by the blood of the Lamb, that it would be brought to remembrance as needed, that will bear fruit, and that we will be able to teach it as servants and warriors of the Most High, everything that you release from your throne room. Lord, I pray that the anointing on this training message would reach so many that they would begin to turn their ways and stop playing religion and childish things and come into the saturation of your presence and of your glory where everything is exchanged in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.